First John, chapter 5. It's here somewhere. I'm sure it is. It used to be, I'm sure it was. Here it is, I found it, finally. First John, chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. Now this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So let us be really clear. God answers prayer. God answers all prayers. We don't necessarily always get the answer we want, but God answers all prayer. And sort of later on this week, we'll come across a prophet called Elijah. And one of your favourite Sunday school stories was Elijah and the prophets of Baal up on the mount. It was always a favourite Sunday school one. Everyone would know it. You know, I remember doing a play at Bible school. That was when Bible school was still at St Paul's Collegiate. Some of you are old enough to remember that, but probably not a lot of you wouldn't. But we have there, Elijah's gone up there with the prophets of Baal, and he sort of told them, well, hey, if Baal's so good, let's have a sacrifice to them. Let's cut up some animals, put them on an altar, but let Baal light the fire. They say, yep, that'll be good, wouldn't it? So we know the story, you know. First Kings 18 and verse 26. So they took the bull which was given them and repaired it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. What was Elijah telling them? What was he actually saying to them and the Israelites? My God hears. My God hears and listens. And he had absolute faith in that. He had absolute faith that God would answer his prayer. And so what does he do? He gets his altar. But it wasn't good enough just to have some dry sticks or whatever they used and an animal on top, however they did that. I've often wondered how they burned animals on an altar with a few sticks, you know. Animals take a lot of burning, but yeah, this is what they did. It wasn't good enough for Elijah just to have some dry sticks and an animal. He said, here, go down and get some water. And he poured so much water on top of him. And then we come to verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice the Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire from the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Elijah had absolute faith in his God and in his prayer. And guess what? God doesn't change. The God that Elijah prayed to back then is the same God that we pray to now. But just because God hears all our prayer, that doesn't mean we're going to get an instant answer that Elijah got. And it's not necessarily the answer that we wanted and that we were looking for, as did Elijah. You know, God's answer could be, yes, what you've prayed for is good, and you're in heaven. Or it might be, yes, but in my time, not yours. Or his answer might be, no, that is not what you need in your life right now. Even our Lord Jesus Christ didn't always get the answer to his prayers that he wanted. Matthew 26. We have here when Jesus was in Gethsemane with his disciples. In verse 36. And Jesus came to them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as you will. But he didn't stop there. He asked again. In verse 42, O my Father, this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it. Your will be done. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't want to go through with what he knew was going to happen. He didn't want it. He didn't want to go through the agony of what he was going to go through, the floggings, the death on the cross. But not my will, but yours. And just as a slight side issue, why do we need to pray? Because in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 8, "For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." So God knows what we want. God knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. So if he knows what we want, what we need, why do we need to ask him? What is the point of prayer? Well, it's not for God's benefit, because he knows our thoughts. Prayer is for our benefit. Prayer helps us in our spiritual maturity, while simultaneously drawing us closer to our Father, who is willing to provide what we need and desire a closeness with us, like parents desire closeness with their kids. It helps us to realise that we are reliant on God. And so we thank him for our meals. We ask him things we need. When we're in trouble, we ask him to help us. How many of us have found ourselves in places we didn't really want to be? Places that make us turn aside from God. And then thinking we are too far gone for him to help us. Because we're not. We are never too far from God, that he is not there to help us. We are never too far from God that he doesn't want to help us. It is usually the other way round, that we don't want his help. God wants us in his kingdom, and he wants us there so much that he gave us his son as a sacrifice for us. And it's that son, that sacrifice, that we are meeting here this morning to remember. But we also need to do our part by wanting to be there. Having people help us by telling us to stop sinning, only do what God wants us to do, actually isn't always helpful and can actually be discouraging. I.e., I can't stop sinning, so what's the point? I might as well just give up. And that's not good. No, we can't stop sinning. It's one of the joys of human nature. But yes, we do need to try. The Apostle Paul struggled with this. Romans chapter 7. Verses 16 to 21. "If then I do what I will not..." I'll start that again. "If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Paul struggled with this thing of not doing what he wanted to do, but doing what he didn't want to do. And if Apostle Paul struggled with it, what makes us think that we are immune from it as well? And being in a relationship brings with it responsibilities. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. Spouse, family, work, God. A relationship with God starts when we first ask Him for help. As it grows through prayer, reading His Word, baptism, learning about Him, learning about His nature, His love, His grace, we too will change in the way we act, the way we speak, the way we interact with others, the way we live. It is not about us stopping sinning. It's about us acknowledging our weaknesses, acknowledging God's grace and forgiveness to us when we do fall, and asking for the help to improve our lives in His service. We come now around the table of our Lord to partake of bread and partake of wine, representing our Lord Jesus Christ. He died that we might live. He died so our sins could be forgiven.